Okay, welcome to another exciting episode of Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. We got a big show this week. Number one, I have my lovely co-host here, Diane Andreville. Diane, welcome back once again.
Hi, Coach.
Today, we're going to be joined by, in our Meet a Gator segment, we have Maeva Denali from France, all right, from another international player. In Canada, you're allowed three international players. So we have Edith Noblechilla from Ecuador, we have Mara Marchesotti from Argentina, and we have Maeva Denali from France. So we have quite a different crop of young ladies playing for us. All right, our special guest today is Sarah Kim Bergeron from the women's soccer program. She was recently named a major sports award winner for women's university sports soccer. The first soccer player in Bishop's history to win a major award. So she's going to grace us with her presence this week as well. We're going to start today's show with a recap of what we did last week. Now, last week we traveled down to Concordia and we took it on the chin. Concordia, you know, lambasted us 83-59. Is that the right score, Diane?
Yes, 82-59.
82-59. Yeah. Can you maybe touch on some of the stats from that game, Diane?
First of all, I thought we didn't shoot the ball that well. We shot, for our field goals, we shot 22 out of 73 field goal attempts, whereas Concordia had 30 out of their 69.
Yeah.
And also, they had more rebounds with 46, and we only had 34.
They basically, you know, from the opening tip-off, I thought they were more aggressive. Now, let's be honest, all right? When a team goes on the road in conference, coach's job is to get them ready. I did not do a great job of getting my team ready for whatever reason. If I had a crystal ball and I had hindsight, I may do some things differently, and I will do some things differently in our preparation for Laval. But coach is responsible for losses, all right? And I take full responsibility. I was out-coached, all right? Coach Gittins did a great job. Their backcourt scored 69 points against us. So, we've been concentrating on defense this week, and I'm confident that our young ladies will get it together. Diane, yeah, they've been working pretty hard this week to sort that out, eh?
Yeah, I would say so.
You know, we're a bit tired, but I think everybody's tired. And you know what? We ate a big piece of humble pie on the weekend or on Thursday night. And, you know, what that did was I was planning on giving the girls Friday, Saturday, Sunday off, you know, but come halftime, I kind of knew that those plans were out the window. And, you know, as it turns out, we practiced on Friday and had Saturday, Sunday off, and we've worked hard the first couple of practices this week, and we're sorting some stuff out, all right? Like, all it did that game, Diane, was it exposed some weaknesses on our
part. Exactly.
Yeah. All right? Yeah. And we're going to get stronger. It's one out of 16 games, all right? I have total confidence in the girls, and they probably don't like me very much right now because I've been a bit ornery, all right? They might think I'm in a bad mood, but I'm simply trying to get them ready to play. All right, it's nothing personal. Now, Diane, what happened in the rest of the conference? Can you touch on some of the other action from around the leagues last week?
So there was one other game. Concordia went to Laval, and they actually won 55-49.
So, I mean, like, you know, for all you listeners out there, you know, we were quite, I don't know, we were affected maybe a bit too much by taking a beating at Concordia. But make no mistake, Concordia is a really good program. And they went into Laval. Laval was ranked fifth in the country last year, and they beat them on their own court. Okay. So, you know, like that, like, you know, the top of the standings right now, I think Concordia is 2-0. Laval is 1-1.
Yes.
Bishops is 1-1. McGill 0-1. UCAM 0-1, correct?
Yes.
So any action in the CEJEP League, Diane?
So last Friday, there were three games. Dawson won 71-62 against Montmorency. Champlain-Lennoxville lost to Champlain-Saint-Lambert 43-53. And Trois-Rivières won against Édouard-Montpetit 71-52.
Okay, so the standings in the CEJEP League, Dawson College is 5-0. Montmorency is 3-1. St. Foy is 2-1. Vanier is 2-2. Champlain St. Lambert 2-3. Trois-Rivières 2-3. Edouard Montpetit 1-3. Champlain Lennoxville 0-3. Just something of interest. The every week now there's a top 10 that comes out. And for women's basketball, last week or this week, Regina is number one. Acadia number two. McGill is number three. Carleton number four. Windsor number five. Laval number six. Alberta seven. Saskatchewan eight. McMaster nine. Queens is number 10. I have no understanding as to why Concordia is not in the top 10. All right. McGill, which is 0-1 in our conference, is ranked third. Concordia is 2-0 in our conference, and I believe they're 8-1 overall, and yeah, they're not ranked. Diane, it makes no sense to me.
It doesn't.
You know, now McGill deservedly is ranked, should be ranked third. They were terrific non-conference, and they've only had one game, and they played against Laval, who's ranked fifth or sixth in the country. But make no mistake, you know, our conference, Concordia deserves to be in the top 10. So that's our intro for this week. We'll be right back with a Meet a Gator segment. All right, welcome back to Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. This is the Meet a Gator segment of our show. Today, we're fortunate, we're pleased, we're happy to have Maeva Denali from France here visiting with us. Maeva is a second-year student at Bishop's, but it's a unique situation for Maeva. She's an exchange student from France. Very talented basketball player. She's taking some Spanish courses at Bishop's right now. She's finishing up a master's degree that she started in France. And as far as her basketball playing ability, I would consider Maeva probably in the top 5 to 10 athletes in the country in terms of pure athleticism. She can run. She can jump. She's very, very gifted athletically. She's got terrific skill as a basketball player. I think her position is she's a combo guard. She can play the one, she can play the two, she can shoot the ball, and she can be a real lockdown defender. And we're going to need a big season out of her if we're going to move forward. Maeva, thanks for joining with us today.
Hi, Coach.
Hi. I haven't seen you for a while since earlier this morning. So it's nice to see you here at the radio station. Can you please talk a bit about growing up in France and some of your memories as a youngster being introduced to sport?
I think growing up in France is like pretty similar to growing up in Canada. You know, I was born in Paris, so a big city, a lot of things to do. I think I've always grown up in a sports environment. My parents are really big sports fans, so if you come up at my house, you will always find sports on TV, whatever the time. So yes, pretty much.
Sports is a big part of your life.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Before we go any further, I have to say, your English is terrific. All right? Like, did you learn English in France, or did you only learn that once you came to Bishop's?
No, I learned English in France.
Well, it sounds like you're perfectly bilingual now. Now, tell me this. When did basketball start to become a passion, and when did it start to become a big part of your life?
Oh, I started playing basketball by chance, actually. When my parents decided to move outside the city, I remember that I was playing in the front garden with my brothers, and my new neighbors were outside playing basketball. So they invited us to join them because they were like kind of the same age than us. And I remember that their parents came to approach me to ask me if I've ever played basketball before. So I said no, and well, it's funny because actually, they were part of the basketball club of my city. Wow. So they came to see my parents, and they say, like, look, if you want to put your daughter at the basketball club, we will just pick her up, drop her back after practice and all those things.
Well, obviously, they probably saw that you are talented. All right. Now, I understand in France, from talking with you a bit, that, you know, they have a system whereby they identify, you know, pretty good elite-level athletes. Now, From what I understand, at the age of 13, you left home and you went away to, what was it called, Pôle Espoir in Amiens, France. Can you talk a bit about that, leaving home at 13 to pursue, you know, a basketball career?
It's a tough choice for 13 years old girl to leave my family to go to play basketball. I think it's like the first step of my basketball career to go to a structure to practice twice a day. Personally, I've never been afraid. I've always been excited to move away and to go on the new challenges. So it was probably the best part of my life to go there.
Was that like, I'm trying to understand for a 13-year-old girl, I mean, moving away from home, I mean, that must have been difficult. You must have missed your family a great deal. And I'm wondering, there must have been a lot of pressure on you to perform as well. Did you feel that?
No, not at that age. Like, it was more like, you don't have the pressure to perform. You have you only have to keep improving your skills, improving individually. And you can't put the academic side away. So it's like a combination of basketball and school.
So it's more like a basketball education, like development.
Yeah.
Okay, so now from what I understand, again, so now you're 15 and the journey continues, and once again you're on the road and you join a club in Charleville, which is in the northeast of France, and you're introduced to the club system. Can you please talk about that experience?
Yeah, so in France we have 14 teams that play in the first division of basketball. Okay. And each team has an esport team, so the best young players that they scout. The same, like, it's a training center where you have to keep improving individually. It's more like about formation more than performing.
Tell me this, does a team draft you kind of like in North America, or do they recruit you and you have a choice of where you're going to go, or is it a regional thing? How do you decide which club you're going to play for?
Well, they recruit you. You can make like trials too, okay, if you want to, if you are interested by one club more than another. But usually they contact you, they call you, and then you have to make to go to practice to make the team, basically.
Okay. So now you stay there for a couple of years, and now you're graduating from high school and you decide you're going to go to university. So at the age of 18, you're in for another change. You head to the University de Lille in the north of France. And can you talk about that experience now, like studying and playing and going to university?
Like, it's a bit more difficult than high school, because in high school everybody take care of yourself. Now you're in university, so you can't have the same people around you. So you have to take care of yourself. But the good thing is that I was doing that since I was 13, so yeah, Everything went well for me.
So now again, you're 20 and you decide to transfer to a different university to pursue a bit of a different academic path. So now you end up in Nice, which is like the French Riviera, a beautiful part of town right near, or a beautiful part of the country right near Italy. Can you talk about Nice a bit and your experience there? And I think you played for the university as well there, correct?
Yeah, I played for the university and I also played for Saint Laurent, another club. So now it's really different, because when you leave the training center and you're actually going in a club, I was playing in the senior team. I was the youngest player of the team. But now they are just asking you for you to perform. They don't mind about your academics. Yeah. They don't mind about anything. They don't mind about you improving your shoot or whatever. They are just asking you to perform on Saturday night. So it's
now
different.
Now the pressure's starting to come.
Now you have
a bit.
Pressure, yeah.
Yeah. It seems to me like, so you, from the time you're 13 to the time you're 20, you're going here, there, and everywhere. It's like you're there's a certain journey happening. And now, I don't know how old you are, but maybe you're 22 and you decide you want to become an exchange student and you want to leave France. So you explore the option of maybe coming to Canada, because the school that you're at is a sister school of Bishop's University. Can you talk a bit about how you ended up at Bishop's and, you know, why that was of interest to you?
Once again, I ended up at Bishop's by chance, absolute chance. As you said, I've never stayed more than 2 or 3 years at the same place since I'm 13. So after my 2 years in Nice, I wanted to finish my master's degree as an exchange student. And hopefully, like, I wanted to go to Canada, and my university has an agreement with Bishop's University. So I applied to go in Bishop's University because they only have one spot. And the first time, they just deny my application because Bishop's University doesn't offer, just offer undergraduate classes. And so, well, I just gave up that option. And one day I saw on Facebook a picture of Coach Cassidy of the Cougars teams on the Bishop's courts. So I recognized the BU signs, and that's how I decided to contact him.
For the listeners out there, Coach Cassidy is our lead assistant coach, and he keeps an eye on out of province kids and out of country kids that are interested in playing. And I remember the day he came up to me and he said, "There's this young lady in France who may be interested in attending Bishop's University." And he showed me a film, and right away it piqued my interest, and we got in touch with Maeva, and we flew her over for a visit. And I remember picking her up at the airport, bringing her to Bishop's, getting her on the court, and right away we knew we had something special. And I'm wondering, what was that experience like for you, flying to Canada and kind of performing for a coach and seeing if you could come over and play here?
Everything was so quick because nobody knows that, but actually I was supposed to, the year I decided to join Bishop's University, I was supposed to go to Mongolia for, yes, for an academic project. And yes, so everything was really quick. I decided to just take the flight
Now, yes. Maeva, I also know this, like from talking to a couple of people that we didn't discuss this, but I think once you decided that you were going to come to Bishop's, all right, and you let your club team know in Saint Laurent that you were possibly going to, you know, venture over to North America and finish up some academic work and play basketball, I understand that they just kind of terminated your contract with the program there. Is that correct?
My coach was really mad at me. I remember that I told her my final decision. We were in the car going to practice, and things went really bad. She stopped the car and she told me just to leave.
Wow. I mean, so, you know, for all you listeners out there, this young lady has ventured far and wide to pursue her basketball dreams. And we're quite pleased with the fact that she ended up at Bishop's. Now, can you talk a bit about what you're doing at Bishop's now, like what you're studying and how you've integrated into the community and what you think of this lovely community in Lennoxville in Canada?
I think this is a great environment to perform. Like, Lennoxville is a really, really small city. It's not Paris, it's not Nice. But I think that's actually good things, that everybody can be closer, and if you need help, like, you will always find somebody to help you. Yeah. So it's a great environment.
So you're happy here?
Yeah.
You know what? And I think it's important for people to know out there too, because I've said this before with other players. You know, me and Maeva, we butted heads a bit, and you know, we've gotten to know each other a bit more. And I appreciate her patience with me, because I know I can be a difficult man to play for at times. But I think Maeva, your game's really starting to come together. For everybody out there, Maeva was by far our best player on the court last week. She was the Provigo Female Athlete of the Week for Bishop's University last week. And Maeva, I'm wondering if you could touch a bit on some of your strengths and weaknesses, in your opinion, as a basketball player.
I think that my biggest weakness is on the court. Like, I'm thinking too much sometimes. I should just feel the game. I always want to play for my teammates, where I could be a bit more selfish, but I think it's part of me, part of who I am. as my strength, as you told before, like, I think I'm quick, I'm athletic, so I'm trying to play with that.
Now, you know, I think people tend to listen to this radio show, and they see the young lady as a student athlete. And in talking with you, you have some different dreams for your future. Could you talk a bit about your desire to do some humanitarian work and where you want to do that when you're finished here at Bishop's?
So I don't know yet if I for sure will keep playing basketball, but I don't know in what extent I will play basketball. What I really would like to do in the next years is to go in South America or South Africa to do some humanitarian work, especially in education and sports. So that's something I want to do since a few years already. I'm just waiting for the good time for me to do it.
For an opportunity. Yeah. And you know what? Our program, a big part of our program in our strategic plan is to do community outreach. And you know, I'm so proud of you that you're going to be giving back to the community. And I think it's going to be great for you and great for everybody that's involved. Now, what advice, I always ask this question to the student athletes that are in here. What advice would you give to a young student female basketball player out there wishing to follow in your footsteps?
My first advice would be to always do the things for yourself. And if you do that, everything will work. You can't decide it to do something for something else or to please people. If you do it for yourself, everything will go in the right direction.
That's great, great advice. Now, Maeva, one other question. Since we're here, all right, I'm wondering, what are your goals for this year for both yourself and our team, all right, on the court this year?
Goal for myself, I just want to enjoy the year and to have pleasure on the team, on the court, to help my teammates. And as a team, I really want to finish in the first place, to go to the Final Four this year. I think we can do it. And if we make it, then we just have to take one game after the other.
Perfect. Okay, well, listen, Maeva, it was a pleasure having you here. It's a pleasure coaching you. And let's have a great game this weekend.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Let's swear that we will get with the times, current health to stay. Let's get friendship right, get life day to day, forget your skates dream. Okay, welcome back to Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. This week we have a special guest with us. We have Sarah Kim Bergeron from the Women's Soccer Program. You know, part of our mandate here in this radio show is to promote women's basketball. But, you know, I'll promote any women's sport, especially if it's connected to Bishop's University. Now, this past week, Sarah Kim Bergeron was honored by U Sports as a major award winner. And for all you listeners out there, every sport that competes for a national championship in university sports has major award winners. And by major award winners, we're talking about player of the year in the country. We're talking about rookie of the year. We're talking about coach of the year. And then there's usually another award for each sport. In women's soccer, there's a community service award. And Sarah Kim Bergeron was fortunate enough to represent Quebec and then beat out the candidates from the other conferences to win that. So, Sarah, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Number one, on behalf of Bishop's University and the athletic department, I'd like to extend our sincere gratitude for what you've done for our fine institution. And that's an unbelievable accomplishment. Can you talk a bit about that award and what it means to you?
Of course. When my coach told me that I was a contestant to actually win the whole U Sport Award, I was humbled. They first told me that I was going to fly into Winnipeg and be a part of it. But what it means to me is just all the hard work that I've put in my last 7 years of playing U Sport soccer. I had a pretty tough career. And most of my time that I wasn't able to play, I've considered helping in the community, and I guess being able to represent Bishops and represent RCQ was an opportunity for me to not be rewarded, but it would just be a good end of my career, if that makes sense.
Well, you know what? Like I was just talking to Maeva Denali, who was here as a Meet a Gator, where she wants to do some humanitarian work once she graduates in South America or in South Africa. And you know, I think some of the stuff you did was just outstanding. And we'll touch on that later. But I think the listeners would be interested in hearing a bit about who Sarah Kim Bergeron is, where she's come from, and how she ended up here. So I'm going to ask you, you know, where did you grow up? How did you start playing sports? Just a bit about yourself and your family to get started.
Yes, of course. I was born and raised in Quebec City in a small town called Saint-Rédempteur in Lévis. I grew up playing sports, never competitive. I have a big family on my dad's side, and most of the things that we would do at my grandparents' house, we would play soccer or baseball, volleyball, any kind of sports. And that's where my passion for sports actually started. And then my aunt actually forced my parents to put me on a soccer team because she actually saw some sort of talent in me. And she told her that if my parents weren't going to put me in a soccer team, that she was going to do it herself. And that's when I actually started playing soccer. And then a few years down the road, my family moved to Calgary. And that's where I think me not being able to speak English, I found comfort in soccer. So a lot of my time was spent in learning new skills and being quiet at first. And then I got into a very good team over there where we started traveling, did showcases a little bit around Canada and then in the States. And that's where my talent kind of started growing.
So you've moved to Calgary, yeah. You've moved out of your comfort zone a bit, and now you're becoming an elite level athlete, mm-hmm. It sounds like. And you end up at Trinity Western, which, you know, you won two national championships there. So obviously, I mean, they had a solid program in place and they knew who they were recruiting. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, what was the recruiting process like? And how did you decide to go to Trinity Western? And one other question involved in there, how does that school mirror Bishop's University?
For sure, of course. Actually, the first time I heard about Trinity Western, I was in grade 9. And we did a soccer camp over there. They used to do youth soccer camps. And I was there for 2 weeks. And I saw the team playing deep. I had this thought of how cool would it be if I actually go and play at Trinity one day. But then I heard about the tuition cost. I was like, there's no way. There's no way I was going to go there.
I think for everybody out there, from competing against Trinity Western over the years and competing with them in terms of recruiting athletes, one thing I used to always say to them, well, it's going to cost you, I think, about $20,000 or $25,000 yep. to go there, correct?
Per semester. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, which is insane. I think it was in my grade 11 year. I did a showcase tournament in Vancouver, and I was hoping to either stay in Calgary or go to McGill. Either I was going to stay with my friends in Calgary or then move back east where my family is at McGill. After I played one game, and then the recruiting method of what happens that you play a game and then the coaches come and then they talk to your coach and then there's a lineup of who wants to talk to who. So after my first game, I had McGill and Trinity waiting to talk to me.
Wow.
So I first started talking with the McGill coach and told me that he liked the way I played, and then we started talking about my marks and stuff, and it wasn't up to the standard of McGill. And then he was very kind and told me that he was going to contact me later. And then I talked to the Trinity coach, and it was once again, it was the first time since my grade 9 year that I heard about Trinity. And the only thing that I've known is that they were back-to-back national champions. And then when you hear that and they come and talk to you, it's humbling. It's exciting.
Yeah. So you end up at Trinity and you spend 5 years there. And I think you win two national championships there. Is that correct?
Yeah, I did.
I mean, that's one hell of an accomplishment.
Yeah.
All right. Now I also know that you had to deal with some adversity there with injuries. Maybe you can describe your 5 year career there. What it was like to win a couple of national championships and how you dealt with the adversity of injuring yourself.
Of course, it's incredible to be able to say that I won two national championships. Of my 5 years, we've gone to nationals every single year. We've won twice and we finished second twice. On top of that, even though it was incredible to be able to say it, I've only was able to be on the field for one of them. The only year that I was fully healthy was my first year, my fourth and my fifth. My other years, I had to come back from two ACL surgeries, full reconstruction, and then one meniscus.
Yeah, but we all know, and that's unbelievable that you fought through that, but we all know that injuries are part of sports, correct?
Exactly, yeah.
And, you know, it says a ton about your character that you were able to see that through and be part of the team and feel like you were part of the team throughout that. Now tell me, so now you've finished up your five-year career at Trinity, but you still got a couple of years of eligibility left. How do you end up at Bishop's University?
That's a great story. I was actually planning on moving to Ottawa to be closer to my family and just start work. I was done with soccer, and there's no way I was going back to school. But I had this feeling that maybe I should consider finishing my 2 years of soccer because I was going to miss it. And there was this what if I continued, like what would have actually happened. Long story short, I was friends with Rosalind Ballard, which is the wife of my current coach, Paul Ballard. And through conversation, she told me that they were considering moving to Quebec. And then she told me that Paul was considering the head coach position on the women's team and that they were looking for players. And then after that, I started talking to Paul, and Paul shared with me his vision of what he wanted the women's soccer program to look like. And the vision completely shattered me. And in
you
a way,
wanted to be a part of
I
it.
I wanted to be part of it, exactly.
Well, that's great. Yeah. Now, so, I mean, this is your second year here, correct?
It's my second year.
Your second year, and so now you're nominated for this award this year. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at some of the stuff. So you won the Student Athlete Community Service Award, which is a major award winner for U Sports. You're the first ever Bishop's Gator to win a major award at the U Sports level in women's soccer. Now, some of the things you did, some of the stuff that was on your dossier, you were a coordinator of the 2017 Junior Gator Soccer Academy. You were the head coach of the 2017 Junior Gator Summer Soccer Camp. You were attending an Ethiopia humanitarian tour in June 2017, worked in impoverished areas of Addis Ababa while investing time with local women's soccer teams. You also work with an Athletes in Action program, running a club to serve athletes as they deal with pressure of life and sport. Mm-hmm. You do weekly events with a membership of over 50 student athletes. You're an academic tutor. You're a supply teacher at the local high school. For the Terry Fox run, you were a volunteer at a local elementary school, and you're a member of the women's soccer team leadership group that, among other initiatives, raised money for the ALS Foundation. Now, I mean, that's an unbelievable dossier, and I'm wondering, how did you combine soccer, doing a master's in education, and doing all this community outreach? How did you manage that? You must have unbelievable time management skills.
Definitely, I think I've learned from my 5 years at Trinity what it actually looks like to prioritize the right thing at the right time. But I think one of the best things that I would say with that is that I keep saying yes to things. And when the things that are asked of me relates and align with my values and what I want people to remember.
Well, you know what? Yeah. I find the busier I am, the more time I have to do things. Is that that sounds a bit like you with all the stuff you're doing. Is that correct?
Very true, yes. Yeah.
Now, if I'm a potential employer out there and I hear this interview with Sarah Kim Bergeron, I'm going like, this girl has leadership written all over her. And I'm wondering, like, what would you say about the term leadership and how you brought that to the women's soccer program? Mm.
I think When I think of the word leadership, there's three things that cross my mind. The first one is you need to know who you are. Unless you actually know your values and know what you stand firm for, then you're going to be swayed back and forth. Second thing is that you need to figure out what you want. And that means that if you want to pursue serving others or if you want to pursue any type of career, then that's that. And then there's also that when you figure out what you want, then you need to pursue it at all costs. So you need to put all the effort in, even if it makes you extremely exhausted at night or if it takes time away from your friends and family. If it's something that you truly want, then you stand firm to that and you just keep walking forward.
Now, you know, the women's soccer program mirrors a bit the women's basketball program, mm-hmm. in that we've underwent a great culture change and we've tried to change the infrastructure. And I think Coach Ballard's doing an unbelievable job. I think that I watched a couple of your games this year, and you guys were terrific out on the field. Like it was inspirational. I watched one of the games where you scored late. I don't know who it was, against Concordia early in the year. Mm-hmm. All right, and I have particular interest in your program now. Number one, because I think Paul Ballard's a terrific, not just a terrific coach, but a terrific person. So we spend some time chatting, but we have a young lady who's a multi-sport athlete, mm-hmm. Jessica Doty. And she's just a terrific young student athlete. And I'm wondering if you could convey, like number one, I mean, she's going to have to juggle soccer, basketball, academics. And I'm wondering, what are your thoughts on Jessica as a soccer player?
Jess was amazing. Jess has a lot of potential. And she has a drive that is definitely represents what she's going to tackle with being a soccer player and a basketball player. And I think the opportunity that she has to be able to be, I think, one of the first players to ever do that in youth sports is incredible. And I think her potential on the field will continue to relate to all the things that she will take from her coaches and teammates.
Perfect. Now, you know, given, you know, your incredible talents both on the field and in the community, and in the classroom, where do you see yourself 5 years from now? All right, where do you see yourself?
I think right now, my biggest dream would be to pursue coaching. I think it brings in my business mindset and my education master's that I'm working on right now. And I think it would be a good way for me to continue helping, but have a bigger purpose into building a program or encouraging girls to actually pursue soccer and actually realize that there's other purposes around it that will maximize who they are and actually help them become amazing leaders outside of that too.
Well, perfect. Well, listen, we thank you so much for dropping by. You're a role model for all the young ladies out there aspiring to be student athletes. You're a role model for all the current student athletes at Bishop's University. Like we're very proud of you, and we're grateful for all you've done for the community and for the department. And I wish you nothing but continued success.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day. Almost make it glow. For a good life, this might have to weaken and find somewhere to go. Go somewhere we need, find somewhere to grow. Okay, welcome back to the wrap-up segment of Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. This upcoming week, we play at Laval University on Friday night at 6 o'clock. It's going to be a big test for us. All right. Diane, last week we went down to Concordia, which was a big test, and we didn't do so well. We failed that exam. And, you know, we're going to have to pay attention to a little more detail if we're going to win on the road. Would you not agree?
Yes.
You know, we've been working diligently this week on defensive stuff. All right, Laval is currently ranked 6th in the country. All right, I believe overall they're 12-2 or 12-3. Okay, they're a top echelon team. They were in the national championship game last year. All right, they graduated a couple of fifth year players, but they just replaced them. All right, they didn't rebuild. They just reloaded. All right, Coach Guillaume Giroux does a terrific job there. He's won, I don't know, 4 or 5 national championships at Montmorency. Last year, they were in the national championship game at the university level. He coached the Francophonie team from Quebec, and they finished 2nd in that competition internationally. His girls played all summer. All right, they got some terrific players. They returned Jane Gagné, who was the player of the year in the conference, first team All-Canadian. They, you know, we've always had fits with Sarah Jane Marois. All right. Raphael Cote is a terrific player. Claudia Imon is really good. We're in for a real test. All right. And it's going to really test our character to come back from the Concordia game and then go down into Laval. So we look forward to that. And not really going to let anybody out there know what our game plan is, but we've been watching a lot of film, and I think we're going to be ready to go this week. Now, Diane, can you talk a bit about other games happening at the university level this weekend and any action that's happening in the CEJEP First Division?
So first, on Thursday, McGill will be at UCAM, and on Saturday, McGill will play home versus Concordia.
Okay. Now, how about in Division I basketball, the CEJEP games? Any action coming up this weekend?
Yeah, there'll be a triple header on Friday. Dawson will be at Vanier. Champlain-Lennoxville will be at Sainte-Foy, and Montmorency will be at Édouard-Montpetit.
Okay, perfect. Now, last week we started our weekly coaching tip for youth basketball with Coach Andreville. Diane's doing a master's at Sherbrooke. She runs our small ball program. And Diane, maybe you can just talk about our small ball program again. I know we mentioned it maybe in the first week. When it happens, the age groups it's for, and if anybody out there is interested in registering their kids.
Okay. So, we have two groups. It's on Saturday mornings. The first group is for 5 to 7-year-olds. It's from 9:30 to 10:30. And our second group is from 10:45 to 11:45. And it's for 8 to 11-year-olds.
I think it's a unique experience for the kids because, number one, they get to be coached by Coach Andreville, who coaches at the university level and just does a fantastic job with them, animating and keeping them engaged. But she's also helped by, you know, university-level players. You have Edith Noblechilla, who plays for the Ecuadorian national team. She helps out. And Maeva Denali from France, who played pro ball in France, helps out. So the kids are in for a real treat. Now, Diane, what is your coaching tip of the week this week for all our young coaches out there and young players?
So my tip is to not teach younger players how to make plays, but rather how to play. So focus on their development, showing them how to shoot the ball, how to play defense, and how to play defense without fouling.
So number one, don't overcoach the game again,
exactly.
Correct?
Yep.
That's perfect. Diane, it's a great tip. Now, as usual, we have a song of the day, and this week we're veering away from Van Morrison. So all you Van Morrison fans out there, please be patient. You know he'll be back later on. All right? I picked this song, all right, for a couple of reasons. All right? It's called Life is Good If You Don't Weaken. It's by the Tragically Hip. We all know that Gord Downie passed away, and every death is a tragedy. But this happens to be my wife's favorite band. All right, and I love my wife dearly, so this one goes out to her, but it also goes out to the team. All right, and the title is Life is Good If You Don't Weaken, but you can also simply substitute the word game in there. The game is good if you don't weaken. All right, and you know, I felt that we weakened a bit against Concordia, and we've weakened a bit this week in practice, but make no mistake, the girls are fighting. All right, they've showed me a ton of resilience, and I don't believe there's any quitting us, all right? And I do not believe that we are weakening, and I think that, in fact, we are getting stronger. So, Diane, thanks for joining us again this week.
Thank you, Coach.
All right, we'll have another great show next week. Hopefully, Coach Norman and Coach Andreville will come in here next week with a smile on their face, not because we won, no, but because we played up to our potential and we competed for 40 minutes. Now have a great day and we'll see everybody next week.
Get friendship right, get life day to day. States dream, full of countervailing walls, as diverse as ever seems. Proceeding on a need to know, a face so full of meaning as to almost make it flow. A good life just might have to weaken. Somewhere.